From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The powers that rule the Olympic Games may have been slow and lumbering in their efforts to fight doping in the past, but they're moving now. On Friday, Russia's track and field team was banned outright from the Rio Olympics. Today, that ruling was affirmed by the International Olympic Committee. There are hints the crackdown could go broader. It may not be enough to clear the modern games of the whiff, the reality of corrupted competition. Some fear for the future of the games themselves. This hour On Point, cleaning up the Olympics. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Were you surprised the Olympics powers that be banned Russia's track and field team? Do you believe they may actually finally be cleaning up the games? Are you turned off by the games? Would a real crackdown on doping tune you back in? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. At a press conference in Vienna last Friday, Sebastian Coe, president of the International Association of Athletics Federations, the IAAF, announced the entire Russian track and field team would be banned from the 2016 Olympics in Rio.
So, although good progress has been made, the IAAF Council was unanimous that RUSAF had not met the reinstatement conditions and that Russian athletes could not credibly return to international competition without undermining the confidence of their competitors and the public.
That was last week. Today, in Lausanne, Switzerland, Thomas Bach, president of the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, said the summit there had agreed athletes who dope will not be allowed to participate in this summer's games.
All participants agreed that they have and they will undertake all efforts to keep dopers away from Rio.
And he said there must be punishment, not just for athletes.
All stakeholders have to make an extra effort to sanction all those implicated in doping cases, be it coaches, be it officials, be it doctors, whoever.
We're going to dive into this whole big picture of doping, the Russian situation, beyond that, whether this could go further, and what we've just heard today out of Lausanne, Switzerland, from Lausanne right now, where the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has just wrapped up a meeting to talk about doping. Stephen Wilson, European sports editor for the Associated Press. He's covered 14 Olympic Games. Last but not least is president of the Olympic Journalists Association. Steve Wilson, thanks so much. I'm sure you must be busy filing today. We really appreciate your time.
Hi there.
What exactly is the effect of what's been announced by the IOC today? Are they standing behind the banning of Russian athletes that we heard last week? And how complete is that track and field ban for the Russians?
Yeah, in fact, more or less they backed to what the IAAF decided last week, which was to ban essentially the entire Russian track and field team from Rio. The only slight crack in the door, and which was originally opened by the IAAF last week, was to perhaps find a way for a few athletes who are living outside of Russia and are subjected to rigorous drug testing in a reliable doping control environment to allow them to apply to compete in Rio. Now, the big difference from Friday and today is that the IAAF had said specifically that those athletes should be considered neutral athletes and would not compete under the Russian flag. Well, the IOC slightly rejected that argument today, saying, well, yes, IAAF has the right to decide on the eligibility of which athletes do compete. However, it's not up to the IAAF to decide which country, which flag they will be represented. So the IAAF, Thomas Bach specifically, made clear that if a few of those Russian athletes are accepted to compete in Rio, that would be under the Russian flag as part of the Russian team.
That confuses me. Russian or not Russian? I thought Russians were banned.
Well, it is very confusing to a lot of people. In fact, the big picture, I think, is, again, there is still most of the team remains banned, but there is a small leeway for a few Russian athletes outside of Russia who are deemed to be clean based on their doping to have a chance to be there.
Steve, what about the possibility that this may go further? We've heard about concerns about other Russian athletes beyond the track and field team. We've heard allegations about Kenyans. Does this look like a fully, full-on, serious, no-doping front this time, and could it go further?
Yes, it could definitely go further. I mean, you know, the crisis is really not limited to Russian track and field, and it's not even limited just to Russia. So today there was a lot of talk about opening the investigation broader to look into different sports within Russia and specifically within Kenya, a country which is also deemed to be non-compliant at the moment with World Anti-Doping Agency guidelines. So I think they'll be they are asking international sports federations to check rigorously all the athletes in their sports from those two countries to see if they are clean enough to be allowed to compete in Rio. And so that's going to happen in the next few weeks before the games. And then just one big still looming threat over Russia particularly is an investigation still ongoing at the moment by WADA, by an independent investigator for WADA, into allegations that the former Moscow drug testing chief was involved in a doping conspiracy ahead of the Sochi Olympic Winter Games in 2014, and that he even was involved in swapping dirty urine samples for clean ones. So once that report comes in within the next few weeks, we could find out a lot more negative things about the Russian drug testing situation, which could lead to further sanctions potentially against Russia.
You've covered Olympics for a long time, Steve Wilson. I mean, how many teams and athletes can you take out of this until you sort of gut the Rio Olympics?
Well, it's too late to take everyone out, obviously. But, I mean, the drug testing situation has been a mess for a long time now. And the IOC has decided to retest a lot of the samples back, going back as far as the Beijing Olympics, which was 2008. And we're seeing a lot of the people being caught years later now for drugs that couldn't be detected at the time. So there's 55 of those cases still pending now. So we could have a lot more athletes being thrown out of the Rio Games in the next few weeks just from those tests.
Stephen Wilson, European sports editor for the Associated Press in Lausanne, Switzerland, where the IOC has been meeting today. Steve, thank you very much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Real relief among clean athletes that they might have a chance with all this. Here's Olympic race walker Jared Talent out of Australia. Earlier this year, was finally awarded the London 2012 gold medal for his 50-kilometer walk after his Russian counterpart had his medal stripped for doping. At a press conference after the awards ceremony in Melbourne last Friday, here was Talent talking about how the IAAF Russian ban would impact his sport.
It'll change the way the races, in my event particularly, a race. Athletes will now, who probably never thought they had a chance before to win a medal, will now believe they've got a chance to win a medal.
We have with us right now from London, Ontario, David Howman. He's Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency. David Howman, thank you for being with us.
Pleasure, Tom.
Your group has come under unbelievable criticism for dropping the ball every which way here. Is this whole situation being tightened up? Do you have the resources and the authority to give us clean Olympics?
Well, the clear answer to that is no, that's not our job. Our job is to ensure that those who are responsible for undertaking the anti-doping programs in every sport in every country do it according to our rules. And we do that by monitoring each with pretty intense scrutiny. What we can't guarantee, and of course we can never be able to do that, is that the athletes who attend Rio are going clean. That's their responsibility and the responsibility of those who are around them, like their coaches, their trainers, their doctors, even their governments. And we have to make sure that responsibility lies on those shoulders, not on anyone else's.
But that seems like a joke when you have entire national teams. I mean, the whole Russian thing, the descriptions of it here are systematic government-sponsored doping.
And that's exactly what came out of our report. So we investigated Russia, and the first report indicated that there was huge problems within that country. We suspended the Russian laboratory immediately. We made sure that the National Anti-Doping Agency in that country was also rendered non-compliant and could not operate anymore. And we've now got a further inquiry into allegations that have been made, mentioned by Steve Wilson, into the laboratory shenanigans in Sochi. And what we've discovered already, and this was mentioned in the report to the IAAF, was that there is, as you just mentioned, a state-sponsored doping program. Now, that's horrendous. That's disgusting, horrendous. And it seems from the interim report we've obtained is that goes back to perhaps 2011 and has covered events like the International World Athletic Championships in Moscow and perhaps the International Swimming Championships in Kazan. So we now await the reply of our investigator as to that part of his inquiry.
How far off of really clean are we at this point? I mean, people train and train and train to go to the Olympics, and it makes it look like a kind of farce if they're training clean, and then they end up there where it really counts, and they're up against somebody who's been pumped full of I don't know what. I mean, how far we are we from feeling that people can sit down and watch this later this summer in Rio and think these are true, open, fair, honest competitions?
What we can do is say that the athletes who do compete at international events, including the Olympic Games, are subject to scrutiny by the best available current anti-doping program we have. But what we have is an ability to detect some substances, an inability to detect others, and certainly scientists who are working for the bad guys who are working out ways of beating the system. So you have to deal with all those challenges at the same time as running a program which is as good as you can get. This one in Rio is as good as you can get at present. As you've heard already, what the IOC does and many of the other federations who run world championships, they store samples for a period of time following the event. And that, to us, is an additional deterrent. What we do have to rely on, Tom, and I have to repeat this, is you do have to rely on all athletes being clean. And regrettably, in societies that we now live in, there are people who take shortcuts, whether that be in journalism, whether a plagiarist, whether that be in politics, where people steal funds to get elected. There are so many ways in our society that people are taking shortcuts, and sport is no different.
David Howman, Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency. It's a little less than fully reassuring, but we see the job you've got in front of you. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about sports doping, Rio, and the future of the Olympics. Amazing news last week that the whole Russian track and field team is banned, and this could go wider. We're asking how much of this the Olympics can take. You can join us this hour. Are you glad the Russians are out? Is that fair? Is it right? Is it necessary? Is it the tip of the iceberg here? Will you watch the Olympics now and wonder who's doping, who's not? Have you always wondered that? Does this feel like a real cleanup? Armin Katayan joins us right now. He is correspondent for CBS's 60 Minutes Sports and for 60 Minutes. His big investigation of Russia's doping program at the 2014 Sochi Olympics aired last month and got a ton of attention. He's with us from New York. Armin Katayan, welcome back to On Point. Thank you so much for being here.
Good to be with you, Tom.
You've spent so much time looking into this and brought forward such kind of shocking revelations about what has gone on. What do you see so far in the measures that we're all watching roll out over these last few days?
Well, if I could just make a point about what Mr. Howland said from WADA, I think I take exception, first off, to what he said. He's basically saying WADA's done everything it can do. And the fact of the matter is one of the things that we had in our report on 60 Minutes was Vitaly Stepanov, who was one half of the husband-wife whistleblowing team that really blew the doors off the Russian doping scandal, said that during a three-year period, he sent more than 200 emails and 50 letters to a contact at WADA detailing Russia's state-sponsored system of doping, only to be told that WADA did not have A, the funds, and B, the investigative capability to take on the Russian system.
Pretty lame.
Pretty lame. And just this week, just a couple of days ago, Senator John Thune of South Dakota, the head of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, has put WADA under fire for that agency's lack of response and questions of conflicts of interest within that agency. So I think what we heard from London, Ontario, was about half a loaf of honest information.
As good as it can get doesn't sound too convincing in that case.
No, it does not.
David Hammond was saying, what about the steps taken last week by the IAAF and today apparently endorsed by the IOC?
Well, I think it was a major line in the sand for the IAAF. They were hearing not only from American athletes, but from athletes around the world who are attempting to compete clean against what one subject that we had in our story, Alicia Montaño, a very fine 800-meter runner who lost an Olympic medal in 2012 in the London Olympics to two Russian athletes who finished first and third, who she said she was running against Russian robots. I think this is a very strong stand. I think it's a necessary stand by the IAAF, and it restores some hope and some credibility in a system that has been under fire for far too long.
Here's a little sound of Alicia Montaño. This is, as you say, the American middle distance runner, finished fifth in the 800 meters final behind two Russian athletes who the World Anti-Doping Agency now say are part of the doping scandal. Without those two in the race, she would have received a bronze medal. Here she is.
At the end of the day, they're thieves. You know, it's a criminal act. I would tell them all of the things that they stole from me that they cannot replace.
But should all the Russians, the track and field people, be out? Maybe more than just track and field? Vladimir Putin says no. Here he was in St. Petersburg on Friday talking with CNN's Fareed Zakaria, denying any state-level support for doping, said the IAAF's ruling was unfair. The Russian leader Vladimir Putin, there cannot be a collective responsibility of all athletes from a certain federation if specific people were caught. Armin Katayan has looked into this deeply for CBS 60 Minutes Sports, 60 Minutes. Armin, what about those protestations from the Russian leader?
I don't think they hold any water at all. I mean, when you have Grigory Rodchenkov, who in our story was secretly recorded 15 hours of conversations with Vitaly Stepanov. Grigory Rodchenkov ran the Russian lab in the Sochi Olympics in 2014. He detailed at least four athletes that won gold medals in those winter games while on steroids, and subsequent reporting by the New York Times has gone even deeper into the tainting and the manipulation and the fabrication of drug test results. When you have the head of your lab and when you understand anything about how things work in Russia, to think that Mr. Rodchenkov was acting on his own, it's just unfathomable to believe that would happen. And also what's interesting, Tom, is that two very high-ranking officials in the Russian sports ministry died within 11 days of each other, both of heart attacks. One, a very fit man at the age, Mr. Kameyev, at the age of 57, jeez, which raised all sorts of questions about a cover-up of this in Russia.
I mean, you looked at what happened in Sochi. So here we now are now 2016. Do you think that with the banning of the Russian track and field team, we've come to the bottom of this? Are there more athletes that should be out of the Rio competition? Who?
Well, I've been covering drugs and sports since the mid-1980s at Sports Illustrated and beyond, mm-hmm. and I don't think we found the bottom here, Tom. I think every time we think we're at the bottom, something else happens. We thought we were at the bottom in the Balco scandal. We thought we were at the bottom in the Pittsburgh drug trials. We thought we were at the bottom in many, many other cases. And I think this is a big black mark on the Olympic Games. But let's remember, it would never have come out if Vitaly and Yulia Stepanov, Vitaly, who was the Russian anti-doping official, and his wife, who was an 800-meter runner, the oddest and strangest of bedfellows, combined to record hundreds of hours of conversations with Russian athletes and government officials and coaches. That turns into a German documentary, which really forced WADA to investigate. And that's what that launched the now famous WADA report into the Russian doping. But, you know, on 60 Minutes, when we had Vitaly and Yulia on there, they detailed everything that they had gone through. And they're now living in this country in fear for their safety. Grigory Rodchenkov is now in this country fearing for his safety. So, no, I don't believe we've gotten to the bottom of this. And I think the one thing that our WADA officials did say is that it is true. It's a cat and mouse game. And for the most part, the mouse are ahead right now. The cats are trying to chase them, but they catch them very few times. And when they do, they try to send a message, and they're sending one here. But the athletes who are smart about this are usually one step ahead of the doping control people.
Let's listen to just a little sound of how this has rolled out. You mentioned the German documentary on the ARD network in late 2014. Opened up the whole scandal. And here's a little bit. You can hear German voices played over secretly recorded tapes of top Russian coaches and athletes talking about doping.
Das sind verbotene Substanzen?
Sag das nicht so. Denn das ist eine spezielle Art der Vorbereitung.
They ask, they are banned substances? And the response is, don't say that. Call them a special kind of preparation. Special preparation. That's how it will go in winter. Then we come to, Vitaly Stepanov, who my guest Armin Katayan has spoken with for 60 Minutes. And here he is describing for 60 Minutes his reaction when elite runner Yulia Stepanov, on their first date, she's now his wife, admitted she had been taking performance-enhancing drugs.
She says, I'm doping. All my teammates are doping as well.
And what do you think?
I had suspicion, but I was hoping that I'm here to fix something. She says that's not what RUSADA does. RUSADA helps Russian athletes to win medals. RUSADA does testing, but fake testing.
Testing, but fake testing. And 60 Minutes and More have helped us learn a lot about that. Armin, if you could draw a line around athletes for the Rio Games, track and field is out from Russia. Who else would you exclude? And do you have the evidence to do it? Does anybody?
Well, we certainly had evidence of other sports in our 60 Minutes reporting. And I can say those now. Certainly in the Sochi Games, there were athletes involved in skeleton and biathlon and bobsled, Russian athletes that were there. I think what you have to, Tom, you have to look at the power sports and the endurance sports. That's where testosterone or the more powerful steroids really have the biggest effect, not only in strength but also in recovery, which is incredibly important when you're dealing with world-class athletes. They're allowed to work out longer and harder and come back day after day after day and do the same thing. So when you look at certainly distance sports, when you look at swimming, certainly with the East Germans back in the 1970s and 80s and their state-sponsored system of doping, and I covered those Olympics in 1988 in Seoul, and the East German women just dominated. Later found out that they were many of those women, those gold medal and medal-winning swimmers, were part and parcel of the East German doping program. So you know, it's hard to specify a specific sport, but when you look at power and you look at speed, and certainly we saw it with Ben Johnson in the 100 meters, just to name one. If you want to compete at an elite level, and certainly in the NFL and in other sports I've covered, and certainly in the Tour de France, where I covered the Tour de France for 5 years when Lance Armstrong was dominating, you know, if you weren't doping in the Tour de France, you were at a distinct disadvantage. Yeah. So here it's all about the testing. And if the WADA says they've got the most sophisticated, we shall see when we come to Rio.
Here's Yulia Stepanov. This is the star Russian runner, 800 meters. Now she's a whistleblower in hiding in the U.S. with her husband, who we heard earlier. This is her speaking to Armin for a 60 Minutes report, explaining why initially she did not think there was anything wrong with doping.
It's hard to believe you're doing something wrong when everybody around you says it's right and there's no other way that you're shown. I was an untouchable, a sacred athlete.
The World Anti-Doping Agency now calling Russia's program a state-sponsored doping program. Mary in Waltham, Massachusetts. Mary, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I think this whole thing with doping is a sin. All these athletes that truly do work their hearts out for the 4 years to get into the Olympics, and then are beaten by cheaters. It's just as unfair.
Mary, you're breaking up, but we got the gist of it. A sin. Let me get one more. Denver, Colorado. Ross, thank you for calling. Ross, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks so much for taking the call. You know, it's such a sad story. You know, I just remember as a kid, really having the event of the year being gathering around and watching the Olympics with your family. And for maybe 20 years now plus, my interest has just waned after one scandal and ill report after another. You know, I wonder if the individual sporting groups, you know, tennis, track and field, swimming, you name it, I wonder if they're considering just why are we connecting ourselves to this kind of sick animal? Why wouldn't we maybe focus on running our own World Games, take a soccer World Cup model, and just maybe break off? I wonder if any of these federations are beginning to think that that would be the best thing to do.
Interesting thought. We'll look at it. Armin, would it be any easier or more effective? And if you did break it into individual sports, would you have the drama and glamour and advertising dollars of the Olympics?
Well, you hit it right there, Tom. It's if you could boil it down to one word, it's money. And the second word would be sponsors. You know, there's just too much money poured into Olympic sponsorships these days, and too much money being paid by NBC for the North American or the worldwide rights for the United States. I just wanted to go back for one thing. You'd mentioned Alicia Montaño and the effect that it had on her. And it was truly one of the most poignant and powerful interviews I've done in a long time. And you just watched her open up a vein and just bleed about the emotional and the financial devastation that was caused by the fact that she finished fifth in those 2012 games. And a third place finish would have changed her life. And she is one of many American athletes and certainly athletes around the world who have had their Olympic medals, potential Olympic medals, robbed by cheaters. And I think that's where people have just become fed up with this. And what has come out of Russia and certainly what's coming out of Africa and Kenya are the beginnings of an understanding of just how deep and how sophisticated. It was almost a fail-safe, foolproof system in Russia. Like Yulia said, she was untouchable until she became injured, and then she was no longer untouchable, and then she tested positive for a steroid, which then led her back to Vitaly in almost this you-can't-make-it-up sort of Russian novel where they together combined to bring down the Russian system. It was really just two people in the beginning. One of them who was a true believer, another one who was brought into it by her own disbelief and anger at the system that she was part and parcel of. That was the spark that set this whole thing in motion. And certainly our report and giving credit to what the New York Times has done and other people around the world, we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for Yulia and Vitaly.
Armin Katayan with 60 Minutes. Please stand by in New York. I want to turn, if I may, right now to a former Olympic gold medalist, now professor of economics at the University of Hamburg. Wolfgang Mänick joins us from Hamburg. Mr. Mänick, thank you very much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Hello.
There's a lot we want to look at, but if you sit back, do you see a potential threat to the Olympics themselves if this cannot be cleaned up in a sense of fair competition, cannot be fully restored? Or do you think sports fans all over the world just take it in stride and say, well, there's going to be some doping, there's going to be some corruption, it's all the same, and the Olympics are invulnerable?
No, there is a real danger, and it has been told by the listener to your radio when he mentioned that he lost interest in the Olympics, and many people around the world, because they are shocked by the doping scandals and corruption scandals, are turning away from sports. So if there's less interest, there will be less sponsor income, so that there is a deeper, real danger. But there's one even more danger. Being a father of a young boy, I would not like to send my 14-year-old boy to, let's say, track and field. I would not like to send him to weightlifting and wrestling, maybe. So indeed, if in the long run, parents all over the world who normally would be interested in sending their children to sports shy away from Olympic sports, that will be the worst damage to the Olympic sports family.
I mean, you remind us that the Olympics have come and gone before and gone for a long time until they came back in the 20th century.
Oh, yeah, they started some more than 300 years before Christ, and they went for more than 700 years, and then they ended for several reasons, religious reasons, political reasons, but also because there was more or less usual corruption in Olympic sports and in all sports at that time. So we should not be too sure that the Olympics are safe and can go on forever. If we do not correct our mistakes, there is a real danger.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about sports doping, Rio, and the future of the Olympic Games. Amazing news last week that the whole Russian track and field team is banned. And this could still go wider before the games open up in Rio de Janeiro. We're asking how much of this the Olympics can take. Armin Katayan is with us. He's a correspondent for CBS's 60 Minutes Sports and for 60 Minutes. He's done big investigations on what went on at the 2014 Sochi Olympics, and it was not pretty. We heard the head of the World Anti-Doping Association earlier call it state-sponsored doping, a program of that. He's with us from New York. From Hamburg, Germany, Wolfgang Mainick joins us, former Olympian, gold medalist, now at the University of Hamburg. He was part of West Germany's rowing team, competed in Los Angeles in 1984 and the 1988 Seoul Olympics. He both won gold in the eights in Seoul there and has worked as an Olympic official in Barcelona, Atlanta, the Sydney Games. He'll be in Rio as a spectator along with his wife and three children there. You can join us this hour. Is it too much to hope for clean games? And if we don't get that, are the Olympics in trouble? Are they already? This was Vitaly Mutko, the Russian Minister of Sports, last November, pushing back on the WADA report in which the Russian government accused the Russian government of institutionalized, systematic doping of its athletes. The Russian here basically calling that report a smear campaign. Says it's an attempt to cast a shadow all over Russian sport, unacceptable. I can assure you Russian sport is today one of the leaders of the world sport, both fighting doping and taking part in competitions, and we will continue this work, so says the Minister of Sports. But here's the Russian whistleblower, Vitaly Stepanov, telling CBS's 60 Minutes about how he was offered a bribe by a Russian Olympic official not to test one of the athletes at the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi.
There was a situation when I was offered a bribe by the vice president of the federation. Just like that person comes to me and he says, this athlete cannot be tested. How much money do you need?
How much money do you need? And WADA depends on the nation's own testing systems. Wolfgang Armin, please stand by. Peter's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Peter, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Hi, Tom. Hi. Yes, I'm from Russia. I used to play soccer, local team, so I love sport. So, you know, make story short, this is clear political motivation and a lot of evidence of this. I wish we will have more time, but okay, let's start from the soccer, right? So, when Russia was awarded in 2018 World Championship, so England was with Russia in final, so Russia beat England, they awarded Russia. So they was mad angry. Can you ever see this arrest in Switzerland, investigation? Nothing happened before 100 years of history.
Peter, Russians are coming out and saying we were doping, we were pressured to dope, we were offered bribes not to report doping. What's political about that?
Okay, simple answer. Those people who now in U.S. seeking for asylum, they are person of interest. I'm not lawyer, but my common sense tells me this. This is a person of interest. They want to pay you when you tell any story. Okay, let me be honest. I believe some of the Russian athletes get adopted. It's not question about.
Okay.
But another country also take doping some. But how you can punish them all the... Okay, let's say track and field 50 members, 50 people.
Yeah.
So 20 of those involved in doping. But let another people... It's simple. You just, Tom, before was conversation about Syria, you saying, oh, you cannot... Assad collective punishment.
Peter, let's keep it to the Olympics and keep it to sports, and we'll pick it up right there, and I appreciate your call. Armin Katayan, Peter says he's Russian, says this is political. And you're going to end up penalizing athletes who weren't doping.
Well, I think Peter did a very good job in parroting the party line that has been coming out of Mr. Mutko's mouth for the last month or so. And it's frankly laughable to believe that these were just individuals, dozens of them, all acting on their own. And I go back to Mr. Rodchenkov, who was the director of the lab and detailed in the New York Times, to their credit, just how sophisticated that lab was when it came to turning dirty urine into clean urine for Russian athletes who were had tested positive and were medal winners. So, and when you have Vitaly giving a very detailed a summary of what he went through, and then when you have somebody like Yulia, who was inside that program for 4 years, detailing what she went through. And then you have other reporters who have done some terrific work, including a report where a Russian gold medal winner went to WADA and said, look, I was part and parcel of this program, and here's some damning details on this state-sponsored system. It's just ludicrous to believe that these people were acting independently of one another.
Wolfgang Minnick, in Hamburg, how about the IAAF ruling last week and the IOC's endorsement of it? Do you think it's a good ruling on Russia? And what about the concern raised by Peter that some clean athletes will be cut out of competition?
Yeah, let me start by saying that indeed, a severe action was needed or is needed, not only for Russia, but also as a signal for other nations and other officials and other athletes that they cannot go on like they have done in the past. So no doubt that I'm in favor of an action. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I do have also to say that I deeply, deeply, deeply apologize for the clean Russian athletes. And I can say that because I am also a victim by the boycott of the Western countries of the Olympic Games in Moscow 2080. I know many friends from the United States who still today, when you start a discussion with them, a talk at a barbecue, it will come up to the deep hurting which they are still feeling today about being stolen the chance to compete to the Olympics. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Some clean Russian athletes will be punished without a good reason. Secondly,
this is 1980 when there was a boycott of those Olympics in Moscow because of the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. It seems like ancient history now, but not for people who were denied that chance to compete.
Right. The other thing which I think we worked out very nicely through the discussion is that it is not the decision of individual athletes to dope or not to dope in Russia, but it is the decision by officials, by policymakers in Russia. And if you are an individual athlete, you do not have any chance to say no. This is what I learned from my friends from Eastern Germany who had been in the system of doping, say also in rowing. They told me, you just couldn't say, I don't want to take the medicaments. You would be immediately out of the system. So indeed, I think, and I am for a severe action, but nevertheless, I'm afraid that the action somehow hits the wrong persons. It hits the athletes, and it should hit the officials. So I would have loved much more a decision by IAAF and IOC to enforce stepping down of the National Olympic Committee, of the Board of Directors of National Olympic Committee of Russia, and all the Board of Directors of Russian Track and Field Federation and some other federations as well. Those people are the right persons to be punished, not so much the athletes. The athletes are offenders, to be clear.
Yeah.
They should be punished if they are doped, but they are also victims. And the true decision makers are the officials.
Armin, do you see the capacity or the conviction, the determination to go after the officials who underwrite or organize this doping, go after their jobs, their livelihoods? Would that be a way to tamp this down?
Well, I think that's really where the rubber meets the road here, Tom, because there's so many conflicts of interest, and the IOC and WADA and the IAAF and even the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. There's so many roads that run across one another here, including, you know, Craig Reedy, who is now WADA's president, is also an IOC vice president. So you have he's wearing one hat one day and he's wearing another hat another day. And the motivation to keep countries eligible to compete in the Olympics, the financial motivations that come with that, and the nationalism that comes from winning gold medals are all part and parcel of these decisions that are being made at the international level.
But who doesn't have an interest in a clean Olympics? I mean, why, you know, if it was clean, you'd still have the national pride.
Well, Russia
didn't have an interest.
Russia didn't have an interest in 2014 of having a clean Olympics because of the national pride that was associated with having those games in their own backyard. And everything was built and based upon winning as many medals as possible. Yeah. And that system was put into place and fine-tuned for that one result. And I think when you're looking at these other countries, and I don't understand all the political backroom dealings that go on, but you would be naive to believe mm-hmm. that this is purity. The Olympic ideal is pure, but the Olympic ideal, I believe, has been tarnished by a lot of other motivations that are moving through the Olympic movement these days.
We are talking about sports, doping, Rio, and the future of the Olympics with Armin Katayan of 60 Minutes and Wolfgang Manick, gold medal winner with us today from Hamburg, Germany. Chris in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Thank you for calling, Chris. You're on. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. I think that there's a misunderstanding. I think we keep pretending that this is still sport. I think sport connotes that it's a good time, some healthy competition. But at this point, it's just all about money. I think the other gentleman that mentioned that the athletes shouldn't be punished, I think they know from the time they begin that the potential for them to have very lucrative contracts is there. And so they're going to participate in this willingly. And I think, I know at least in the United States, I mean, if you ask 100 high school kids, most of them will know who Lionel Messi is, but nobody knows who Jonas Salk is. And until we get to the point where sports don't hold the level of import that they do and have the potential financial benefit that they do for kids, this is never going to go away, because when you put that carrot out there, people are going to do whatever they can to get it.
I mean, I know money is a powerful motivator, but boy, oh boy, the kind of training you have to go through to compete at this level. I don't know if I'm quite that jaded. Wolfgang Manning, what about the idea that it's all about money and endorsement packages, and that puts the pressure on to bring in the dope?
Sorry, it's not. Most of the Olympic sports, you cannot make any money. In fencing, in rowing, even in sailing, you don't earn any money. There are some very few Olympic sports, like track and field, where you can make money. And, of course, you can earn money with soccer, for example, but not because of the Olympics, but because of the other interests outside the Olympics. So the normal Olympian, and especially when he starts at the age of something like 8, 10, or 12, he is not interested in money. He's interested mm-hmm. for the glory of the game or for the medal and nothing else. So that's not true. What is true is that it is mostly media sports. So sports which get a lot of attention where the doping is a problem. Rowers are not the better persons. They don't have a better moral. Mm-hmm. But to a large extent, there's much less doping because simply rowers are university students, they're amateurs, they couldn't even finance APO or hormone medication. So indeed, there is a connection between money and doping, but it's not fair to say that all the Olympic athletes are only going for the money.
Let's go to New York, Buffalo, New York, and Chris. Chris, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi there, Tom. I was part of the U.S. national team for, I didn't go to the Olympics, I went to World Championships for fencing, and I spent about 12 years of my life fencing, and I have to say, for somebody, it's very naive for somebody to say, oh, it's all about money and lucrative contracts. The vast majority of Olympic sports are done from a pure love and not for money. The amount of money that you have to spend to compete at a world-class level just to even qualify for the Olympics.
Chris, we've got it. How far do you think the IOC should go in trying to build a wall against the doping, to ferret it out?
It's huge, because they should go very far, because I think it's completely like your other person has there. It's not about the athletes. They would not be able to, in many of these countries, even do their sport at all if they didn't do what the officials say. They have to be, the officials have to be held accountable. They have to be held accountable. I think that he's completely right.
Chris, I appreciate your call. As somebody who's been there at that very elite level, thanks for your call from Buffalo. One more from Baltimore, Maryland. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I think it's, especially in these power and endurance sports, a little bit naive to think that a lot of the athletes either don't or haven't done doping. I think the only way to level the playing field is to just allow it across the board and, you know, bring it out of the shadows. We want to see bigger, faster, stronger athletes.
Even if they're all doped up on heaven knows what would be rolled out in that case, all kinds of chemicals and drugs and GMO, I don't know what it would be. I mean, you want sort of human robots?
Well, right now, all of that is being done in the dark if it was medically supervised, I think the athletes who do it would actually be better off.
Jason, I appreciate your call. Armin, is that where we're headed here? Sooner or later, the walls come down and it's dope to the max?
Well, I've heard that argument in other sports, and goodness, I hope not. I mean, you certainly heard it at one point in time in baseball. I certainly heard it, at the Tour de France and the cycling, the elite cycling world. But, you know, Tom, let's not forget that NBC's primetime telecasts are going to focus on two events in the first few days of the Olympics or the first week of the Olympics. It's going to be gymnastics and swimming, which are the, you know, the spotlight events, two of them, yep, along with track and field and probably basketball. And there's a reason for that. Those are star-making sports. And there is money associated with that. And I understand, certainly I'm well aware of the fact that most of the Olympic athletes now are doing it out of the love and the purity of the sport. There's other factors involved here as well.
Wolfgang, we've just got a couple of minutes. Should the bans go further? Is the track and field ban on Russia enough? Wolfgang Manning, should more athletes be banned? Have we come to the bottom of it with track and field?
Well, I don't know whether more athletes, because my argument is we should punish the officials and maybe less the athletes. But yes, I'm quite sure that in Russia it's not only track and field. What we have learned that it's a state system, that even the Russian Secret Service is involved. So I really cannot believe that it's only track and field and that there's no doping in Russian wrestling and no doping in Russian weightlifting.
Well, think of that as the game's open up. I'm sorry we're out of time. Wolfgang Manick in Hamburg. Armin Katane with 60 Minutes. Our great thanks to you both. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.